The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. A couple of weeks ago, I was sitting around chatting with Reverend Robin about her life and her insane schedule. When it came to the subject of VBS, out of nowhere, my mouth opened and I said, "Do you need any help?" Out of nowhere, because I simply do not do vacation Bible school. When I was a kid, there was no V in VBS. There was no giant teal-colored EP320 robot who tells jokes. No Miss Michelle to dance and sing with. No nice snack ladies to give me primarily junk food. No science junkies to do experiments with. No awesome game lady. Now, we did have crafts, but we certainly had nothing like a space alien. But what we did have all day was the Bible Story Station. So guess where I volunteered? The Bible Story Station. Go figure. Mary Malone, fine biblical actor Reverend Nathan, me, and Sneaky Spirit. Every day after "Welcome to the Bible Story Station," we had to vector. I would explain that vectoring was required in space travel to get us into just the right spot. We had to get into just the right spot so that we could collect certain essential elements and send them back to our stranded space station so it could power up with faith, boldness, thankfulness, kindness, and hope. Vectoring properly required that we say, shout, and or perform our vector verse. Glory to God, who is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or imagine by his power at work within us. Okay. Vectoring is very much like prayer. Prayer gets us into the right space, the right spot, to power up our recognition of God. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is found praying 9 times, like he was at the beginning of today's story. Our parable today is frequently interpreted as a need for us to be persistent in prayer in order to get our urgent needs met. Usually, the friend who pounds on the door of his neighbor at midnight is interpreted to be us. The poor friend who only gets up because he's harassed into it is seen to be God. But as one wise person observed, the notion that repeatedly we must bang on the doors of heaven if we are to catch God's attention is hardly an appropriate theology of prayer. Nor, in my humble opinion, does it make much sense if we affirm, as we do occasionally, that God knows our necessities before we ask. But what if we flip that around and God is the one pounding on the door and we're the ones slumbering? What if God is waiting in the space station for our responses to God's urgent distress signal? How would that work? As usual, it is Jesus who is our storyteller and our exemplar. And in this story, after praying himself, Jesus tells us to pray that God's kingdom come. Clearly, our prayer has some power. Why else would Jesus teach us to pray like he prays? Prayer, whether silent and contemplative, loud with laments, walking or sitting, general or specific, has the power to affect the outcome God has in mind for God's kingdom. Our prayer has the power to increase God's reign of beauty, peace, liberation, and justice. These purposes of God have been around for a long, long time. Clearly, God is patient. Clearly, God is persistent. And clearly, God needs our cooperation. God's pounding on the door while we slumber in our beds implies that there is already inbuilt in us a system of two-way communication, a conduit between God and humans. Because we have the freedom to unplug, it is our choice to vector instead of detach. It is our choice to put ourselves in the position to learn to recognize God's transmissions. God's guidance is happening in our lives at every moment. There is such an intimacy in our consent to hear God and for God to hear us. No wonder Jesus uses the allegory of God as a loving parent who will give us good things, and we talk about having a relationship with God and with Jesus. It is intimate. The more open we are in prayer to God's presence, the better we are able to perceive the opportunities God has to offer. As in any healthy relationship, trust is established over time, and confidence in God's goodness takes deep root. Surely this kind of intimate relationship with God has personal benefits, which in and of itself is a very great reason to pray. But prayer is also the essential element God needs to bring about God's kingdom in the wider world. God works with the world and in the world as it is, and with our realities, not in a made-up fantasy land, all good or all bad. The specific opportunities we are offered are actually possible for us to achieve. Many of you have probably heard Mother Teresa's quote. I'm sure most of you have. I used to pray that God would feed the hungry or to do this or that. But now I pray that he will guide me to do whatever I'm supposed to do, what I can do. I used to pray for answers, but now I'm praying for strength. I used to believe that prayer changes things, but now I know that prayer changes us, and we change things. The change Mother Teresa is talking about is in our deepest selves. We start to see a shift in how we perceive reality. Our thinking becomes more nuanced, less black and white. We become more tolerant. We become more inclusive of all people, other cultures, other ways of knowing and being. We might find a change in our own interests or even relationships as our heart and mind become more aligned with the purposes of God. And with those changes, we alter the total situation with which God works because we have given God something radically different to work with. Prayer releases the power of God working in us to lead the world toward the reign of God. And so let us power up with faith, boldness, kindness, and thankfulness as we pray. Glory to God, who has been able to do far beyond all that we could ask or imagine by his power at work within us. Glory to God, who is able to bring wholeness, beauty, freedom, justice, and peace into being by his power at work within us. In this sure hope, let us vector on. Amen.